Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is December 16th, and our reading comes from Revelation chapter 7. Now, if you remember in chapter 6, judgment has begun on the earth. God is pouring out the seal judgments. So far, he covered the first six. Chapter 7 happens between the sixth judgment and the seventh judgment, which will begin in chapter 8. So in chapter 7, it says this, beginning in verse 1, "Then I saw the four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds, so they did not blow on the earth or sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea, 'Wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the forehead of his servants.'" So apparently these angels had the power to hold back a storm that is about to come upon the earth. But before that judgment comes upon the earth, the angels are holding back this storm. The seal has been brought forth, and they're going to use that seal to seal the saints of God, those who are saved during the tribulation. So watch, beginning in verse 4, he says, "And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel." And then he lists there 12,000 from each of the tribes. So these are Jews who see Jesus during the tribulation. You remember when Jesus comes back next time, he's coming back in power and glory. Everyone will see Jesus. And so these Jews see Jesus and realize he is our Messiah, our Savior, and they've put their faith and trust in him, 144,000. Well, then the angels are going to seal these Jews as believers, followers of Christ, on their forehead, which is going to allow them to be identified, marked, and is going to protect them through the tribulation period. Then verse 9, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes," which means they've been forgiven, washed clean, "and held palm branches in their hands," which is a sign of victory, worshiping Jesus. "And they were shouting with a great roar, 'Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb.'" So who are these people? Watch. Verse 11, "All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped God. They sang, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever.'" You know, when I read through the book of Revelation and see how often all of heaven breaks out in worship of God, the thing that just comes to mind for me is that for so many of us, we're distracted and captivated by the world, and it diminishes our worship of God. But as we grow and mature in our faith, I think one of the things that happens is God comes into view. Our understanding of who God is and all that he's done increases. It gets clearer. It's more pronounced. And when that happens, worship naturally begins to rise in our hearts. We're less impressed with the world and more impressed with God. So we're talking less about the glory of the world and more about the glory of God. Our heart is full of gratitude and worship. Verse 13. "Then one of the 24 elders asked me, 'Who are these clothed in white? Where did they come from?'" So that's the question we asked earlier. Verse 14, "I said to him, 'Sir, you're the one who knows.'" Which, you know, anytime we've got questions about faith, spiritual matters, the condition of our own hearts, what's happening in our world, and we're not certain, God knows, right? And I just love that. John just admits, "I'm not sure I know the answer to that question, but you know, and I'm trusting you." Then he said to me, These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. So these are people that have trusted in Jesus during the tribulation period, Gentiles from every tribe, nation, and tongue. And then it says about them, that is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. So perfect service, right? They're serving the Lord Jesus for all eternity. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. So God is their protector. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. God is their provider. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. Again, he's their protector. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He is their guide, and he will lead them to springs of life-giving water. He wants to lead us into rest, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Don't you love that? In fact, when I read that, it reminds me of Psalm 23. The Lord is our shepherd. And that's what he's describing here in Revelation chapter 23. And he leads us into green pasture, makes us lie down, leads us by still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, right? And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me, his rod and his staff. They comfort, they protect, they guide me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. He anoints my head with oil, right? And I just love that description. And I see that here in Revelation chapter 7. God wants to be our great shepherd, to lead us and to guide us into healing and new life. Man, come on, let's get our eyes on Jesus and spend our life living in gratitude and worship for our Savior. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much. I'm just amazed at your grace that even in the tribulation, that even after you return, you are gracious and merciful. Even in the midst of judgment, there's mercy and grace. And there are Jews and Gentiles who both see you in your glory and turn to you in faith and are welcomed into the family of God. I'm just blown away. Even when I think about my own life, I'm just so overwhelmed by your gratitude, by your graciousness, your grace, your patience, your mercy, your compassion. My heart is full of gratitude and worship. You are worthy. And so God, I pray that you'd fill our hearts with gratitude. I pray that today we'd be reminded of your grace, of your compassion, your mercy, your patience, your faithfulness with us. It would fill our hearts with gratitude and fill our mouth with worship and praise. You are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I hope that encourages you. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.